to Stu Peters. This is God's platform, and all glory be to God Almighty. Why is Tony Fauci still running around free instead of hanging by the end of a noose somewhere?
Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Edward Zoll, filling in for Stu, along with Lauren Witzke and Nate Darnell, our latest correspondent. We have a very important show for you. The question of accountability is at the forefront of the Stu Peters Network, and Stu has been the first, and I'd say the only, to call for what's necessary. Call for accountability, justice for those who've been hurt. Now, on this show, we've profiled a lot of the tyrannical measures that have taken place around the world. One of them places, Australia. Now, Australia, if you think about it, the tyranny happened there, and then came to us 3 or 4 months later, discussion of camps, discussion of mandates, a discussion of removing rights, what, because you decide not to get an experimental shot? Well, the tyrannical measures in Australia were used to enforce COVID lockdowns. You remember this. We've covered this extensively on the Stu Peters Network. But Australia is also the country where some of the most honest discussions about the COVID shots and their side effects are being had. Now, last fall, the Australian edition of The Spectator, a major British magazine, highlighted the global surge of death rates that have occurred in countries with the highest vaccination rates. Last fall, a former Australian Member of Parliament, left-wing lesbian and Dr. Karen Phelps, revealed that she and her wife had both had serious injury from the COVID shots. Now, Tony Nikolic, a human rights lawyer and criminologist, has written another major piece in The Spectator, calling for serious measures to be taken to hold authorities accountable for the massive damage through forced vaccination. Quote, "The only rational way for this country to move forward is to acknowledge the wrongs, prosecute those responsible, and ensure that our highest institutions remain independent and free. Although contracts may have been signed, legal scholars understand that one cannot contract out of potential fraud, false claims, or criminal conduct leading to multiple harms against citizens. We must stop mandating vaccines immediately and ensure that those who have lost their jobs as part of the national coercion campaign are returned to work immediately with compensation. Our precautionary fines are refunded, and those injured and deceased received a dignified compensation package," unquote. That seems common sense. That seems like something that would be fair. I do wonder if we need more. Tony Nikolic joins us now to discuss this. Sir, welcome to the Stu Peters Show. We're a big fan of The Spectator, but a bigger fan of you. Sir, you're calling for accountability. Walk me through this. Have you gotten some pushback for this, by the way? Because I think you're speaking with some love speech. Sir, can you expand on your efforts in Australia?
Well, firstly, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Down here in Australia, as in many other countries around the world, we have seen what we, the world's biggest clinical trial, as our health minister said early on. And that being a clinical trial, how is it that people are mandated? This is something that went past a lot of people. And the fact that he said it's the world's biggest criminal trial tells you exactly what's happening here, is that people have been mandated to take an experimental drug. In terms of that, what we're seeing here is that should never have been the case. And indeed, after Nuremberg, every country around the world fought so hard to ensure that that wasn't the case. And here we are. And it happens to be, unfortunately, those countries that fought at Nuremberg for that never to happen to be pushing the hardest. And so accountability is something that is at the centerpiece of our justice systems, and especially, you know, the USA, the Australia, the UK, all these common law countries are the ones that are pushing the hardest. Essentially, what's happened here is we've mandated harm. That is something that is not peace, order, and good government. That is not. That is a massive experiment that has been placed on the people of this world and imperiled many lives around the world.
Well, certainly part of this this damage, mandating harm is certainly a great way to phrase this, because the government literally used us as guinea pigs, not some of the people that didn't take the shot. I'd say I still got experimented on because they forced us to wear masks. They kept our kids out of school. And when they had them in school, they changed the way they were learning. But far worse, there have been people that have been killed and damaged from these mandates, and they're crying. They need support. I'd say that what you're actually discussing speaks to the heart of the social contract. The social contract we have with our government. I mean, look, we're both citizens of the Commonwealth. I'm an American citizen through my service in the military, but I'm also a Brit. I'm a Brit, and I understand this a little from my primary school, is we made a deal with the government. The exchange of why we consider to be subjects of the crown or citizens of our government was that our government would have our best interests at heart. We'd give them certain levels of power in exchange for them giving us safety. Now, of course, here in America, they warned against that. Never trade security for rights, because what will happen? They'll just stop caring about the rights and they won't even give the security. Sir, in regard to the social contract, are many people in Australia thinking in this regard? Because the problem with that, you start to say, what if we don't have a social contract? Then are we still going to support the current form of government? You can't even have that conversation, and we don't want to. We just want accountability. How do you bridge that?
Well, accountability is something that will only come by way of bringing this to the forefront. Unfortunately, the legacy media, some people refer to them as mainstream. I don't. I call them as legacy media because we've transitioned away from that. We've seen a massive campaign of manipulation over the last 3 years. That obviously will affect how accountability comes about to all society. What we're seeing now is a massive transition. And we're seeing the alternative media networks really, really pump out some really good, really, really good information about the harms. When it comes down to accountability, the only way we're going to do this is, as I said in that article, is we really need to bring these people to account. How do we do that? Well, we need to recognize and tell the truth. Okay, merely sticking our heads in the sand, which is what the campaign has been up until now. Pretending nothing is happening. Now, mind you, I wrote a letter to every minister around Australia in 2021, July 2021, to every minister. They all ignored it. They can't say they weren't on notice. And that was the trajectory. We put our stake in the sand and we said to them, we are seeing some really bad safety signals here. They all ignored it. They can't say they did not know. Accountability must be swift, and it must hold each and every one of them to account. It must hold all our institutions. Our institutions are hallowed institutions, and just like the US Constitution, the Australian Constitution needs to be followed as well. And yes, we are starting to see a transition. We're starting to see people who have been harmed and, unfortunately, people who have passed away as a result of these what we call mandated harms. This is something we really need to all get united around the world. We all need to unite.
Well, certainly, sir. I think the unification is on accountability and justice. The question of how we achieve this, though, has been something I feel many have stalled on. In respect to Australia, I'm you know, familiar with the laws because they're very similar to the Western world. We consider those who murder to potentially be on the receiving end of the death penalty, okay, as an equal punishment. As a Christian, I don't believe in an eye for an eye. But I understand why we have the death penalty. The thing that has stalled is because when you really start working this through, if it wasn't incompetence, if it wasn't just mistakes, and potentially, again, it was actually we were guinea pigs for profit or maybe worse, maybe depopulation, like Thomas Malthus spoke about. Many of the elite who pushed mandates around the world were obsessed with this reverend who spoke about the world not having enough resources for everybody. But in specific to this question, if it was anything other than incompetence, you do now have a question of manslaughter, potentially murder. If it was someone who walked up to another person in the street and shot him in the head, that person, people would accept that person being brought to justice, potentially seeing the death penalty. In respect to this, we can't seem to get elected officials in front of magistrates. We can't get the police to arrest them. How do we bridge this? How do we bring an actual justice campaign against those who harmed us?
Well, firstly, we need to get the truth in the data. So the data is starting to come out, exactly what we were talking about early on. That data will not lie, and it's certainly not lying. What we're seeing are excess mortality rates. We're seeing injuries that have never been seen before. But the key to it is this, is they're correlating all over the world at a particular point in time, and that is with the release of the vaccine. We're seeing correlation of very similar, if not same, events. Now, these are samples that just didn't occur from magic, no matter what the mainstream or legacy media want to try and tell you. That is not the case. That is not the case. These are law-abiding citizens. We've got doctors, scientists, lawyers. We have so many, they're very well educated, who need to stop. We need to stop because we're actually now, in our, perhaps like you were saying, manslaughter or potentially much worse. Okay, if that's the case, and we don't stop, then every one of those people that keeps pushing this is essentially pushing harm. Now, that is something we cannot have. Now, we have these law-abiding citizens. They are all coming together, all singing from the same. They are not fringe experts. These are the world's leading experts. I know in my case, here in the Kassam versus New Health Minister, we put the world's leading experts up. They put up one expert. Or they put up a couple, but one in particular. And she had 65 in research grants in the 18 months to that, and it was all based around vaccine research. She was also one of the people who had involvement on vaccine rollouts and those sorts of measures. Now, this is something we need to get through. We need to cut through that. When we cut through that, we'll make headway. But what's more important is what we're seeing is that unification of lawyers and doctors. I can tell you I'm in a panel with lawyers from all over the world, Australia, USA in particular. There's so many great US attorneys who are involved, Germany, Italy, England. We're all involved from all over the world, and there's some of the best scientists that I've ever seen and worked with. You know, you've got Jicky, Arkansas. We've got some of the world's excellent, excellent, excellent doctors out there. So what we need to do, we just got to keep on uniting. We've got to keep the data coming. And don't be scared to talk the truth. Don't be scared to talk the truth. We cannot be. The second we create that fear, we start falling into their trap. That's not what this is. We are legally obliged to do so. We're citizens of a country. Remember, peace, order, good governance. Okay? When we have that, we have a great society moving forward. We need to be transparent. I asked here in 2021, we challenged each and every health minister to come forward and have a public debate in 2021. I know Steve Kirsch has done the same in the USA. Not one has come forward.
Well, there's a reason for that, isn't there? They're not wanting to have a discussion about their crimes. I mean, obviously, if those who committed crimes are not going to want to plot further or try to lie in public on the record. But I tell you, sir, I do think you're on the right track. Truth will always defeat darkness. Thank you so much for joining us today, sir. We'll be staying up on this, and I look forward to seeing your next article and op-ed to tell us about the campaign, the crusade against those who have harmed society. Thank you so much, sir. Take care.
God bless. God bless. Take care.
This weekend is the Restore Freedom Rally. You can go to restorefreedomrally.org and get your tickets. There are some tickets left. I'm going to be there, so I will see you there. It's in Orlando, Florida, Friday through Monday, January 21st through the 23rd. Go over to restorefreedomrally.org, and we will see you there this weekend. There's a few tickets left. Make sure you get yours today.
The boosters are killing millions.
Shut up, vaccine sensitivity.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
The vaccinated have chronic COVID.
Hey, folks, guess you heard. This morning I tested positive for COVID. But I've been double vaccinated, double boosted.
They're drowning in bioweapon sludge, and gay people are taking doggy style to the extreme. But a generation of patriots are standing back and standing by. Christopher Key is leading the revolution.
Good morning.
Temple. That's why they're poisonous with the water, the food, the supplements.
Confronting corrupt corporations through peaceful protest and righteous resistance. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on pure blood survival and products to keep your loved ones safe. Vaccine-police.com.
If you have $50,000 or more in your retirement account or investment accounts or even in a checking or savings account, it's at imminent risk. Protect it with gold and silver right now. Call my friends over at GoldCo, 855-706-GOLD, 855-706-GOLD. Forever Wars. Funding the bioweapon from our own DOD, Pfizer, the criminals, Pfizer. We're funding these people. Stop that. Get out of that system and protect yourself with gold and silver. When they reset all of those accounts to zero to start everybody over, you will be protected. Call GoldCo, 855-706-GOLD. If you mention Stu Peters, you get up to $10,000 in free silver. with your qualified account. Call Gold Co. today, 855-706-GOLD, 855-706-GOLD. More of the Stu Peters Show right now.
Welcome back to the Stu Peters Show, everybody. My name is Nate Darnell. I am filling in for Stu Peters. Today, we have a very special guest. She is the Vice President of Legal Affairs at the Right to Life League. Susan Swift, how are you?
I'm very well, Nate. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thank you. So, yeah, I mean, the news came out the other day that CVS and Walgreens, they are now selling abortion pills. Obviously, this is very demonic and, you know, it's kind of a sad kind of like wrench in the system because we just overturned Roe v. Wade and then now we're kind of dealing with this. But, you know, we still have to deal with the states and stuff. But, yeah, so how do you feel about this?
Well, it's very interesting because what's happened is now the FDA is trying to make an end run around Dobbs. That's what's going on. We're seeing a battle play out nationally. As you mentioned, you know, Dobbs has overturned Roe versus Wade, which was it was the federal boot on the neck of the states, basically trying to mandate abortion über alles, right? We have to have a fundamental right to abortion. And for 50 years, that's been a lie, even though Justice Ginsburg herself said that it was a bad decision. So fortunately, Dobbs reversed that and put the Constitution back in place and said, well, no, this is an issue that belongs in the states. And of course, immediately at that time, there were trigger laws that went into place. And so Planned Parenthood and the abortion cartels started losing market share in several of the states, 17, 19, and so that there are reasonable restrictions based in, you know, either at 15 weeks and less or the light, you know, all of the different restrictions they have state by state. And so the abortion cartel started saying, well, we're losing market share. We gotta circle the wagons. And so they've come to states like, you know, California, where it's abortion on demand 24/7. And they're starting to push an agenda now that you're seeing through the FDA, which is the chemical abortion. A chemical abortion is a drug cocktail. It is mifepristone and misoprostol. Those are the two drugs. Mifepristone is also known as RU486. And some of you might remember what that is. RU486 is a French abortion pill developed in France in the 80s, 90s. And it was actually the Bill Clinton administration who partnered with the Rockefeller Population Council to bring RU486 kind of stealthily, you know, into the United States, and it was manufactured in China. So isn't that interesting, right? So this population control drug manufactured in China entered into the United States through the Population Council of Rockefeller, thanks to the administration of Bill Clinton. So that's how we ended up with RU486, also known as mifepristone. And starting in 2000, we started seeing that being able to be prescribed as a drug to starve the baby to death. The way the drug works is it interrupts natural progesterone, which supports the uterine lining and the placenta. So essentially, when you take mifepristone, you're starving the little baby to death, depriving it of nutrients, and the baby dies. And then you take the second drug, which is misoprostol, 48 hours later, and that makes you go into premature labor, uterine contractions, and then you expel the dead or dying baby, all right? And the entire purpose that the FDA supposedly had with their REMS is risk evaluation and mediation strategies. Okay, so what that a fancy word is, we're going to weigh the benefits of this drug against the risk, because we don't want to prescribe things that have risk. Never mind the vaccine, we're not talking about the vaccine. Yeah, there's no risk with the vaccine, but I digress. All right, so what REMS is all about is assessing a risk of a new drug, an experimental treatment like the vaccine. What they've done now under the FDA, it started under Obama and it's now under the Biden administration, they're weakening the REMS, they're weakening the regulation on the abortion drug because they want to make it readily available. So they said it used to be before the pandemic, they said, well, you have to go in to see a doctor in person and get an ultrasound so that we can date the pregnancy. We can find out how far along you are. Why is that important? Because mifepristone is dangerous after a certain point because the complications result the farther along the baby is. If it's 10 weeks or under, it's generally safer for the woman. We know from a fact from the FDA that at least 26 women have died in association with taking this drug. So we know it's deadly. We know that there are adverse side effects like hemorrhaging, sepsis, which is blood infection, all kinds of, you can have to have another surgical procedure to remove the dead baby parts and things. So it there are certain risks that go along with it. And yet we now see the REMS, the being lifted even further by saying, well, because of the pandemic, isn't it interesting that the pandemic just justified everything, right? They've done away with the in-person requirement that a woman would go to a doctor and date her pregnancy and find out, is it safe for me to take this drug? Am I 12 weeks of pregnancy along or under? Now, the most recent thing is the FDA has said, well, you don't have to be in person. It'll be telemedicine because of the pandemic. And now the most recent thing they've said, well, we're going to make that permanent so that you never have to go in person to date your pregnancy. You can just go on the phone, and now they can prescribe a prescription for you. And now you can go fill it at Walgreens or CVS. And that's the latest thing that they've happened is they're going to be allowing big box pharmacies or local pharmacies for that matter to apply to dispense the abortion drug under prescription. So now you'll be able to go on, apply, you know, to your doctor, telehealth medicine. You can say, well, I think I'm 8 weeks along. Are you sure? I think so. I don't know. But you can either be unsure yourself as a woman, because sometimes we don't know when our periods start or, you know, the accuracy of that. Or sometimes you could, because you really just want to have the pill and hide it from everybody. You could just say, well, I think I'm, you know, 10 weeks, when you think you're really longer, you're farther. That puts women at risk, because no one is going to make sure that you're only 12 weeks along, and that this drug is relatively safe under the REMS, the risk evaluation and mitigation strategies, that it's safer for you to take this. So we're throwing women's health out the window with this, because it's all about big pharma and getting that drug cartel moving. That's exactly what's going on. That's what the FDA is doing under the Biden administration. They're loosening all of the regulations that are designed to protect women from harm. That doesn't matter anymore, because the most important thing is abortion über alles. That's what they want to sell is now chemical abortion. That is, by the way, a chemical abortion is 54% of all abortions in the United States. That's according to the Guttmacher study. It was done in 2020. So it might even be more than 54% now in 2023, right? So it's making up most of the abortions in America. It is a drug, so Big Pharma is benefiting. And now they're making it easier and easier for you to just go into the pharmacy and get it by prescription. Pretty soon, I betcha, this is just a guess, they'll try to make it over the counter. So you don't even need a prescription anymore.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And it's just, people don't understand that the same people selling you this, you know, abortion pill are the same people, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, pushing the vaccine, and
yep.
this is all a depopulation tactic. And, you know, I just have to ask, you know, women, these younger women, especially, you know, like my generation, younger women nowadays, they're more liberal. So they're going to give in, and they're going to be brainwashed by, you know, other women or like ads or, you know, like you said, Big Pharma's pushing this. So the Big Pharma's lying to women to take these pills. You know, they don't understand that this is causing really bad damage to their system. So, like, what do you have to say to young women that are out there that could be brainwashed by this, or how Big Pharma is lying to them? You know, what kind of damage could this really do for these women? Because
we know from the FDA's own data, and if you go to the Mayo Clinic, if you do any kind of research at all, that there are terrible adverse side effects that can happen. There are risks to this, including hemorrhage and sepsis and you know, in pain and uncontrolled bleeding that might require additional surgeries to stop. Never mind that it's killing a baby, right? But you as a woman can suffer all of these things as well, because it is not safe for women. We already know from the FDA's own data that 26 women have died as a result or in association with taking this mifepristone, the first drug of the drug cocktail. And that's another thing that the abortion industry lies. They like to call it a medication abortion. Doesn't that sound nice? We're giving you medicine as though it's healthy, right? They don't like to refer to it as a chemical abortion or drug cocktail. They just don't. But that's what it is. They're two drugs that you're taking. It interferes with a woman's natural development, right? It's interrupting natural hormones. It's not organic at all. It's forcing your body to go into preterm labor, right? And it forces the body to starve that developing baby and then expel the baby with uterine contractions. And so you're going to end up taking this pill, on a Friday.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much for coming on, though. I would love to hear more. But 100%, I agree. And it is. It's all artificial, and people need to understand that this isn't natural. This isn't from God. This is artificial. This is man-made, and it's demonic. So thank you, Susan, so much for coming on.
You can learn more about it at our website, which is righttolifeleague.org, righttolifeleague.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nate.
The Stu Peters Network is brought to you in part by DarkAgeDefense.com. One day we could be at war. Missile silos activated. Drone swarms blotting out the sun. Cyber attacks destroying the power grid. Don't wait until lights out to prepare for the day after. Dark Age Defense will arm you to protect your family. Food, water, power, survival. DarkAgeDefense.com/Stu has you covered. Don't wait. Visit DarkAgeDefense.com/Stu.
Repeatedly on this program about the importance of that miracle mineral magnesium and what it does for your body's overall function. Not having the appropriate amounts of magnesium or the right types can lead to a whole lot of things. Unnecessary weight gain, a loss of good sleep, no REM sleep, low mood, anxiety, stress buildup. All of these things are impacting 75% of Americans that may not even realize that they're suffering a magnesium deficiency. It's not in our food anymore. It's not in the soil. It's not in the things that we consume. All of that, obviously, by design. Same thing with soy. Add more soy. Reduce the overall masculinity of the population. The same thing happens with magnesium. You're not going to get the most out of your workouts anymore. You're never going to be able to shed that belly fat. So a lot of you already understand the importance of this and you have a magnesium supplement that you use. But a lot of these magnesium supplements out here actually act as a laxative, so it's having the reverse effect of what you want. Magnesium Breakthrough has the 7 most critical types of magnesium, the exact right amounts, and it won't act as a laxative. So you'll be able to effectively combat stress and anxiety and low mood and sleepless nights and ultimately an early grave. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters for that supplement. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. We'll be back in 30 seconds. New year, new you. How many people say it? Well, today we want to talk to those of you that actually mean it and want to get back on track after the holidays. You can activate your metabolism to burn even that most stubborn belly fat. Crush your cravings. Maintain healthy immune system function, fight temporary inflammation related to exercise, even support improved digestion and a feel-good mood, all while eating rich and decadent creamy chocolate. EarthEchoFoods.com/Stu. They've done it again. They've stepped up their game to help you step up yours. Use promo code Stu for steep discounts when you go to EarthEchoFoods.com/Stu.
Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Lauren Witzke, filling in for Stu today. So the BBC is the British government's official broadcaster and left-wing propaganda arm. But right now, it's having a hard time keeping the narrative under control, even inside its own buildings. All across the UK recently, vaccine dissidents have covered the BBC studio buildings in at least 6 cities with posters, pictures, and sticky notes identifying people who have died early and abruptly after getting the government-promoted jabs. Just as an example, Katie Leese, age 34, died from a blood clot 13 days after receiving the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine. Not only are the lies being exposed right now on the BBC's own buildings, but also on their own programs. Recently, the BBC welcomed a well-esteemed cardiologist, Asim Malhotra, who apparently caught them off guard by calling for a halt to all the COVID jabs due to all the deaths that they have caused. That failure of censorship made the pro-vax crowd go berserk. Entrepreneur Steve Kirsch just made a post on his Substack laying out the evidence that the COVID jabs are causing strokes and, by extension, a persistent rise in the rate of sudden deaths. He's actually offered $1 million to anyone who can prove him wrong in front of an impartial jury, but he says he hasn't had any takers. Steve Kirsch joins us now. Now, Mr. Kirsch, I want to roll this footage from the BBC where the cardiologist just, he went somewhere they never expected him to go. Check this out.
Yes.
On top of that, Wessel, one of the reasons I think this has come into the news just now is obviously there's been a big concern recently around excess deaths. Now, the British Heart Foundation said certainly during the pandemic or since the pandemic, there's been 30,000 excess deaths specifically due to coronary artery disease. That's my area of expertise. And they're trying to figure out what's causing it. Chris Whitty recently suggested that it could be because people weren't prescribed statins or blood pressure pills. But Carl Hennigan, that unfortunately, I've got respect for Chris Whitty, but I think he's mistaken here, because analysis I've done, and even Carl Hennigan, the director of Centre for Evidence Based Medicine Oxford, suggests that statin pills prescription hasn't reduced since the pandemic. So it's unlikely to be a cause. But what is almost certainly, and if you allow me to say this, LaGuessa, what my own research has found, and this is something that is probably a likely contributing factor, is that the COVID mRNA vaccines do carry a cardiovascular risk. And I've actually called for the suspension of this pending an inquiry.
Mr. Kirsch, you have offered $1 million to anyone who would even debate you or have a conversation with you in front of an impartial jury. You know that the media has also been complicit. I know you have thoughts about BBC as well. Why do you think it is that nobody wants to bring this discussion to the table?
Well, it's pretty clear, Lauren, they would lose. And what's interesting is that they're willing, all these doctors and the medical community as a whole, and the press, they're willing to sacrifice your life. But you know what? They won't even bet me a dime and stand behind what they're saying. So they won't risk a dime of their money, but they will gladly risk your life. Think about that. You know, it's really disturbing that, you know, I've offered to bet people, not, you know, just give them $1 million, but I've offered to bet people. Look, you know, put your money where your mouth is. If you really believe the nonsense from the CDC about this being safe and effective, then put your money where your mouth is and let's have a debate about it. And so far, nobody in the entire world believes the CDC to the extent of willing to wager $1 million that they're right. Now, right. That has got to be really troubling, because the drug companies themselves could easily make that wager, and they're not. What they're saying is that they're wagering, the drug companies are willing to risk your life, but they're not willing to risk a tiny $1 million. They're making tens of $1 billion, and they won't even risk $1 million to prove that they're right. Now, that's peanuts to them. Now, why, and I think we had our answer when they tried to interview the CEO of Pfizer, and they tried to ask him 34 questions, yeah, and he wouldn't answer a single one. That's going to make people really pretty troubled. But, you know, the BBC is just perpetuating this with the nonsense that it's because people didn't get their statin. I mean, statins basically don't do anything. They actually make things worse, except for a very small minority of patients. And plus, the statin prescriptions didn't go down at all. So what they're doing is they're making up stories instead of looking at the evidence. Because when you look at the evidence for what caused all of these deaths, and the deaths in the UK are at a 50-year high. They've never been this high. The excess deaths have never been this high in 50 years. There's something killing people in massive, massive numbers, over 600,000 excess deaths in the UK, and they can't explain it. But what they don't do, and this is interesting, they don't ever look at the data. They don't ever look at the death reports as to why people died. But I have, because I get these death reports. I've surveyed people in the US, in Europe, and so forth, and I know why people die. And guess what? It's the vaccine causing all of these excess deaths. Yes. I have never, ever, ever seen a death report where, well, they were locked down and they couldn't visit their cardiologist and they didn't get their statins and that's why they died. You know, what I do get is, well, they had the jab and after the jab, they were never the same. They went downhill and they died a day later, you know, or something like that.
Yes.
And it is so consistent. And I don't understand how the BBC can look at these death records and come to this bogus conclusion, which has no evidence whatsoever, that they're saying, oh, it's because their people didn't get their drugs. I mean, this is gaslighting the British people, and they won't be held accountable for it. None of these people at the BBC will go on camera with me, and let's have a live debate about it. And let's talk about the evidence for heart damage. Let's talk about the evidence for stroke.
Yes.
Okay, because the evidence for stroke is crystal clear. And I just wrote an article on my Substack, talked about the evidence for stroke. And again, offered him to bet anyone in the world $1 million. And hey, if you're a prominent person in the medical community, I'll bet you 10 cents. You know, if you can't afford the $1 million, 10 cents, a dollar, like, are you willing to risk 10 cents just to settle the question? Or basically, are you saying that, hey, I'm willing to risk my patient's life, but I'm not willing to risk a dime of my own money? I mean, it's really troubling.
And it proves that they are not confident in their own product. The fact that they are avoiding conversation about it, they are avoiding even discussion. You can't even talk about it. They shut down that cardiologist at the BBC on that interview. They're like, oh, well, we don't know, you know, and they never brought him back again. People are starting to bring awareness to this. They're posting it as stickers on the BBC. Last night I got a call. One of my friends from high school was taken to the hospital. She's my age, with a heart attack. This was never normal. Something is happening and nobody wants to talk about it. And the media was also complicit and a part of it by covering it up. Why do you think the media chose to get behind a vaccine that is causing hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of deaths? You know, why wager that? Why did they choose to go that way?
Well, the media follows the medical community. Okay, now we can get into conspiracy theories as to, you know, the media is paid off by the drug companies. But fundamentally, the media, when I talk to people in the media, they follow what the medical community says. And when I talk to doctors, doctors are convinced that these vaccines are safe and effective because they don't have time to look at the data, so they trust the authorities. And so if you have an authority like the CDC saying, oh, it's safe and effective, and look here at the clinical trial where more people die, and they never point out, by the way, that like a lot of doctors have no clue that more people died who got the vaccine than who got the placebo. It's supposed to be the other way around. And you know, it's four times as many people died from a cardiac arrest who got the drug than who are in the placebo group.
Right.
But that's in the supplemental appendix. It's not in the main abstract. And so most doctors are completely unaware of this. And of course, the clinical trials never explain, hey, here's how we made the assessment that the vaccine didn't kill these people. There is never the histopathology that's required to justify that the drug didn't kill these people in the trials. So basically, you have the doctors believing what they read in the peer-reviewed medical journals, which are heavily censored so that if you have an adverse paper, it doesn't get published. So there, these doctors are seeing one side of it. And there are actually doctors who believe that there's more myocarditis from the virus than from the vaccine. And but yet the papers show it's just the reverse. It's like 25 times higher myocarditis after the vaccine. But hey, it's like what you're being told. Right. And they're being told data that is misinterpreted from the VAERS system. They never use the underreporting factor of the VAERS system to correct the number of events. And so as a great example, there was a Swiss study. It was done on 777 people. And it's probably never going to get published in the peer-reviewed journals because it'll get rejected everywhere because it comes to the wrong conclusion. But in this study, 2.8% of the people had elevated troponins after they got the vaccine, elevated to an abnormal level, like something that you would get after you've had a heart attack, in 2.8% of the people. So that translates into the U.S. as injuring the hearts of at least 7 million people. Mm. And it could be far greater than that. It might even be 50 million people. And for stroke, they completely write that off. You know, the CDC says, well, it's only triggered in one database. They lied. They're lying to the American people. It triggered in the VAERS system. We have the proof. It was obtained a Freedom of Information Act request before they made the statement. So it was out in the public domain that the CDC has ignored the death safety signal, which is the most important, and they've been ignoring that one for 2 years. And they also ignored the stroke safety signal in VAERS. They never told anyone it triggered. And I just wrote an article on my Substack. It talked about, hey, eight different ways that prove that these vaccines are causing strokes.
Yes.
And the CDC hasn't even acknowledged that you know, this could be a possibility. They just said they just completely write it off, even though the evidence is so crystal clear. There are five Bradford Hill criteria that's used to determine causality. All five of them have triggered here. There's no doubt that these vaccines cause stroke. And that's why I can't get anyone to take my bet. Not for $1 million, not for 100,000, not for 10 cents. Like, I can't even bet a cardiologist anywhere. It wouldn't be a cardiologist for a stroke. But I can't bet anyone who's who's specializes in neurology anywhere in the world. Like, will they bet me? No, they won't, because they're afraid of losing. And they won't even bet me 10 cents, but they'll bet your life.
Right, it's true.
That's troubling.
And you had mentioned like the collusion conspiracy, but you know, I do see Pfizer buying advertisement on the media. I know that Pfizer has a huge political PAC where they donate millions and millions of dollars into our political, our politicians, their bank accounts for campaigns, and money talks. And I guess that money that you're putting on the table and saying, hey, debate me, isn't worth the millions and millions and millions of dollars they have in their coffers to cover for what they have done. You know, this was, I almost feel like it was, you know, we knew it was experimental. We knew that when it rolled out, you know, they had to be a control group, and then there had to be those who were willing to, who took it. And, you know, we're seeing the results of that. This is what happens when you mass inject the population with something that you don't know exactly what it is. You know, they don't even have to disclose 40% of what is in the vaccine. We have no idea what they've done to us. You know, do we have a way?
Yeah, there's no quality control either.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no quality control.
Tons of manufacturing issues as well. You know, we saw debris in the vaccines. It's just from, quality control issues. And, you know, they just didn't care. They kept injecting people. Hey, it's safe and effective. Make sure you get it. You know, do you think we'll ever see accountability? Do you think we have a chance at justice for what has happened when they just ignore us? They ignore our concerns. You know, they kind of smear us as just like, you're, you know, an anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorist. No, like, this is happening all around me. I'm seeing it. It's personal. It's happening to my friends. It's happening to my family. This is very real. Will we ever get justice?
Well, I hope we will. But the track record on that isn't very good because we've been having autism for a long time in this country, and nobody has been held accountable for that. And they've marginalized it to say, well, it's not being caused by vaccines, have no fear. It's not being caused by any drugs. No, don't worry about it. It's just because we're diagnosing it better. But Bobby Kennedy was recently on my broadcast at Vaccine Safety Research Foundation. And he said, you know, this never runs into any autistic people his age. And that's not because they died. It's just because there weren't. There were so few autistic people when he was born. And this is something that it wasn't because we changed the diagnosis code. But you see, they've been gaslighting people for decades to claim that, oh, you know, it's just due to this and just due to that. And they have no evidentiary basis for it. And so they've been getting away with that for decades. And Bobby Kennedy has been trying to get a debate on vaccine safety for decades and keeps getting refused. And the other troubling thing that people should keep in mind is that there are no success anecdotes. You know, people that I talk to always say, well, you can't use anecdotes to argue your point because anecdotes aren't, quote, scientific evidence. That's just not right.
Right.
You know, science is about all the observations, anecdotal observations in randomized trials. And sometimes the anecdotal observations can be a lot more compelling and useful,
yes,
than the stuff in the trial, because you can see all the parameters. But you know, uniformly, whenever I get into an argument with people on the other side, they say, well, do you have any justification of that other than anecdotal evidence? So they immediately say, well, we have to disqualify the anecdotal evidence. And the reason for that is very important. They have no anecdotal evidence,
yes,
that it works. There's not a single case. I cannot find a nursing home where the deaths went down after they rolled out the vaccine. I can't find a single one that I could talk to. I could find plenty where it went up by a factor of 3 or a factor of 2, but I can't find a nursing home where it was successful. And this is why they say, well, we don't want to talk about the anecdotes. Well, if there are no positive anecdotes, then you can't, it makes no sense. They should be having 10 times as many positive anecdotes as negative anecdotes, but right. instead we have like 100 times as many negative anecdotes as, and well, I can't even find a positive anecdote.
Right.
So this is why they like to shift that. So will they ever be held accountable? I hope so, because these people deserve to go to jail for what's happening here, because there are people in the government who know exactly what's going on and exactly how dangerous this vaccine is.
Yes.
But you know, the people at the CDC are mostly sheep, and they do what they're told, and they actually believe at the CDC, people who work at the CDC, they actually believe it's safe and effective because that's what they're told. And it's not. And people are not willing to go and dig into the VAERS system and explain to me. There's not one person in the entire world, and I have tried and tried and tried, have them explain to me, how do you explain the 15,000 excess deaths in VAERS? And then, you know, people come back to me and say, well, what's an excess death? I mean, okay, there's baseline death and the deaths over that are excess deaths. I mean, it's like we have to go back to definitions about what an excess death is, seriously?
Right.
Because nobody can explain it. If it wasn't the vaccine, what killed these people? And nobody in the entire world has an explanation for that. Will he be held accountable? Gee, I hope so, because it is so obvious to anyone who takes a serious look at this data.
Yes. Yes. And we pray for justice every day. And like you said, there is no anecdotal evidence on their side, because even the people that got the quote unquote vaccine, they're always, for Joe Biden, for example, it's like, oh, he got COVID again. He got COVID again. They're like, oh, well, at least he's vaccinated. Could have been a lot worse. And it's just they have nothing. And that's why they can't talk to us. That's why they keep it under wraps. I don't even think the CDC mandated the vaccine for their own people, probably because they saw how it was made. Now, we're going to link Mr. Kirsch's Substack to the bottom of this video. Make sure you check it out. Subscribe, support our freedom fighters that are on the ground and everything they do. Mr. Kirsch, thank you so much and have a great day. I appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah, thank you, Lauren.
Go and do a quick search on your own. What can you treat with CBD naturally? Well, I was just doing that. Pain is one of them, obviously. Anxiety and depression. Epilepsy. Epilepsy can be treated with CBD. Symptoms related to cancer treatment. You know, the toxic cancer treatments that they give you. Yes, CBD can help with symptoms related to that treatment. Acne and other skin issues, even. High blood pressure. Addiction. Opioid addiction. Diabetes. All of these things are reported. You just go to your everyday search, run-of-the-mill search. You can treat these things with natural CBD from God's earth, from hemp. And the CBD company that you should be using is Curable. If you're a viewer or listener of this program, Curable is the only CBD company that you should be using because, first of all, you get 20% off site-wide on all of their products when you use the promo code STU. But second of all, and more importantly, it's a family-owned business, and you can source all of their hemp. It's sourced right here in my home state of Minnesota. I would never lie to you. I have laid eyes on the fields, and I also coach baseball. One of the sons of one of the directors plays for the baseball team that I coach during the summer here in Minnesota. So personal ties to them. I trust them, and I think that you should give them a try as well. Go to Curable.com. That's K-U-R-I-B-L.com. Use promo code STU for 20% off when you go to Curable.com.
Are you getting sick all the time? The bioweapon boosted are breaking our immune system. Chemtrails fill the skies. Don't fear the shedpocalypse. Destroy impurities. Protect your children with the future of air purification. TrustFilterSuck.com.
Watch how quickly our machine pulls out dust, shedding, quantum dots, mold, bacteria, viruses, anything that grandma might have brought over from Boosterville, California. We drop it down to the ground as a biologically inert substance.
Sleep easy with 24/7 protection. Get a unit for your home or the portable device to shield your kids at school. Use promo code STU for huge discounts. FilterSuck.com, your antidote against poison in the air. For healthcare you can trust, go to HeroicDoctors.com and connect with the trusted and unbiased doctors of the Wellness Company. This is the future of medical care. Access to top-flight healthcare from anywhere by visiting HeroicDoctors.com and the Wellness Company. You get uncensored content, virtual appointments with trusted medical professionals, doctors who aren't scared to follow protocols that keep you healthy, a real pharmacy that will fill your prescriptions, exclusive treatment packages, packages, vaccine exemption letters, world-class supplements, healthcare products, and so much more. The last few years have proven just how broken our healthcare system is. Access to real medicine shouldn't be dictated by who you know or where you live. Break the power of Big Pharma and keep you and your family safe. Go to heroicdoctors.com and join today.
Thanks to smartphones and other distractions, Americans are getting less and less healthy sleep. In fact, if you want a real pandemic afflicting this country, sleep deprivation is a good candidate. About a third of Americans say they are getting less than 5 hours of sleep a night. Millions are getting less than 4 hours of sleep. According to the CDC, which is actually more trustworthy on this sort of thing than it is on COVID, going 18 hours without sleep is like having a blood alcohol level of 0.05%. Going 24 hours without sleep is like having a blood alcohol of 0.1%. That's higher than the level considered to be drunk driving. Lack of sleep doesn't just make you an unsafe driver, though. It contributes to obesity and depression. It increases your risk of diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, and stroke. Across the board, lack of sleep increases the risk of dying suddenly. It makes you more vulnerable to every type of infectious disease. So, in short, sleep is important, but millions of Americans don't get enough of it. And it's not just that we're busy. Even if they want to sleep more, a lot of Americans struggle to do so. Some of them turn to melatonin, but in fact, melatonin is far from perfect as a sleep aid. Matt Gallant is the CEO of Bioptimizers and a sponsor of The Stu Peters Show. We are so grateful to have him here today. Matt, thank you so much. Listen, I've been using Sleep Breakthrough. I work in media, and my life is crazy. I have a lot of sleepless nights. I started taking it. Changed my life. I also take your magnesium. Love you guys. America, it seems like with all the distractions, everything going on, especially with like social media and stuff like that, with this new advanced technology, that people are getting less and less sleep. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, modern technology, including lights, and especially lights, including lights from our phones, lights from our TV, are disrupting sleep. So light is one of the main things that sets your circadian clock. And one tip I would recommend everybody starts doing is wake up in the morning and try to expose your eyes to sunlight or blue light within 30 minutes upon awakening. That actually programs your brain to start the clock, and 14 to 16 hours later, you'll start to feel a little bit tired. The other aspect of light, and the reason why a lot of people are struggling to get sleep, is there's too much light while people are preparing to go to bed. So I'd say 90 minutes before your target bedtime, start dimming the lights, or some people put on red light bulbs or use blue light blocking glasses. Any of those solutions are a good idea, because light will destroy your natural melatonin production.
Yes. And okay, so, you know, I've taken a lot of sleep aids. Like I tried like just knocking myself with like Tylenol PM. I have taken melatonin, didn't have much luck with it. What is the difference? But I have noticed a huge difference. Within 30 minutes of taking Sleep Breakthrough, I'm sleepy, and I sleep well. It's like I'm not like, oh, like doped out. It's like I sleep well and I wake up refreshed. What's the difference between Sleep Breakthrough and any other alternative sleep aid?
Just a quick comment on melatonin. First of all, people are mega dosing, and I almost feel like saying overdosing on melatonin. The brain will produce 10 to 80 micrograms naturally, and people are taking 10, 20, 30, 50 times that amount. And for me, it never worked really well. If you look at the data on melatonin, it's really good at helping people pass out and fall asleep, but it doesn't improve the quality of sleep. And I would say the most important thing when it comes to improving your sleep is focusing on the quality. What you want to do is try to improve your deep sleep and improve your REM sleep. Deep sleep is where all of the body's natural hormones are happening, like growth hormone, all the good, healthy stuff. And then REM is where you're processing emotions, so you're starting to dream quite a bit, and it's really setting up your brain for a good mood the following day. The reason Sleep Breakthrough is so effective is that we're targeting multiple pathways. First, we're giving the body all of the building blocks that it needs to naturally produce melatonin, which is always a better approach than taking exogenous or external forms. So that's the first strategy. The second strategy is we're really targeting minerals and compounds that will relax the nervous system. A lot of people are stressed out because, you know, they're busy, they're active like you are, like I am. So anything that can help us relax, things like pharma-GABA is really phenomenal. L-theanine, which is an amino acid derived from green tea. What it does, it helps relax you without causing drowsiness. And the problem with a lot of sleep substances, and I'm a little careful with my languaging here, a lot of sleep substances will cause you to pass out, but you're not getting good quality sleep and they cause drowsiness. So the next day you wake up and you're feeling a little bit groggy. We really wanted to create something that would help you fall asleep, stay asleep, but when you wake up, you feel great. And one of the substances that's amazing for that is called glycine. Glycine is an amino acid. It's an essential amino acid. Most people are very deficient in it. And what it does, it also helps lower body temperature. It helps people stay asleep. And the best part about it is you will feel more refreshed the next day. So there's a combination of all these types of minerals and amino acids. Is completely natural. There's nothing synthetic. Everything's either an amino acid or a plant or a mineral.
Yep. And I guess it explains why I'm dreaming again, too. And it's like good sleep. I wake up. I'm good to go. Guys, you can support our sponsors and get a hold of this great product and sleep great at sleepbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. So go to sleepbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Support our sponsors because they're the ones that keep our show on the air. They keep our content free. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you and everything you do for the Stu Peters Show. God bless you.
Thank you.
Branch Covidians have turned our cities into super shedder capitals. The jabbed have become self-spreading bioweapons, threatening the purebloods.
He pulled this clot out, but as he pulled it out, it became something that was the extent of the person's entire leg. It was almost like a wax, you know, mold of something.
The clot shot is ending careers, detonating bombs in the brains of pilots.
Dozens, maybe north of 100 commercial airline pilots have died within just a few days of being vaccinated. Dead.
But don't despair. There's an answer to protect you and your kids from the chimerically engineered symptoms. Forget the forever boosters. Fortify your immune system today with the Z-Stack from Dr. Zev Zelenko. One pill formula, taken twice a day. Everything you need to fight back against bioweapons, RSV, and influenza B. ZStackProtocol.com. Stock up now. Be prepared. Stand ready. ZStackProtocol.com.
I try to stay as healthy and as fit as I can. God gave me a very specific directive: get into warrior shape. And so I work on that every day. I work out in the gym. I try to watch what I eat. I take things like the Z-Stack protocol daily and other supplements, the things that we advertise here on the program. I take them myself, and that's how I can personally endorse them. Believe me, we've had a lot of offers that we have turned down because I can't get on board with the product. We're not going to just take money. But you know, I do have some bad habits. I love carbs, of course. Who doesn't love pizza and pasta and potatoes? I mean, who doesn't love French fries, all of these other things? Well, apparently now there is a new scientific formula to being able to eat those carbs without all of the fat gain. Yeah, seriously. Go to thehealthyfat.com/stew. Thehealthyfat.com/stew. There is a full scientific breakdown of how you can enjoy carbs because we know that you love them as well. These are all the foods that taste good, but they seem to, you know, pack on the pounds, that stubborn fat that you just can't get rid of. Well, now there's a way to do that. Consume the carbs, don't gain all the fat, thehealthyfat.com/stew. Again, thehealthyfat.com/stew.
Thank you so much for tuning in today and dealing with the Stew Crew. Stew will be back tomorrow, same time, same place. We will see you there. Thank you, Stew Crew, for joining today, and God bless you.